Bow to the book of Psalms, we'll be looking at Psalms 13. And we'll begin our reading with verse 1 and read through this little psalm. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let us pray. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before thee this morning, Lord, we come thanking thee for these that have come out this morning. And dear Father, I pray that you'll give everyone a safe journey back home at the close of services. Dear Lord, I pray that that you would speak to us this morning. And Father, we're looking at a passage of Scripture that I think we all can relate to in some capacity. And Lord, I just pray that that you'd speak to us and have us to understand what we have with thee. And dear Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's lost, that this would be the very time that you speak to the hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And the subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning is, O Lord, how long? O Lord, how long? Of all the characters that we find in Scripture, and there's many, many, both good ones and bad ones, both genders, you can find godly individuals and you can find wicked individuals in abundance, no matter where you look, no matter what book of the Bible that you look into. There are a few, however, that we can say that we can understand, somewhat at least, what they're going through, like we can with David. David's life in many ways is very applicable to what we face, what we have to go through. As we read the Psalms, you can find a whole host of emotions expressed. Emotions of great joy, and emotions of great sorrow, and everything really in between. As we know, a very large portion of the Psalms were in fact written by David, not all of them, but a very large majority were. And even though he is referred to in the New Testament as being a man after God's own heart, he still had to deal with and face a great amount of problems and difficulties. Some, a large amount he brought upon himself with his sin with Bathsheba. We realize that. But be that as it may, he still had to face a lot of hardship and difficult times in his life. Just as with everybody else, David experienced a series of highs and lows. And this is the natural course of life. We would like for life to go by smoothly. We would like for life to go by without any problems. And we can kind of skip along and everybody be happy and joyous and cheerful and a song in their heart and all such as that. Folks, life don't work that way. If you didn't already know that by now. Life is a series of highs and lows. All that are there. It seems that David would constantly travel from the mountaintop of victory to the valley of despair and back up again, which again is the way things go. And I would ask a question, does that sound familiar to anyone? Going from the mountaintop to the depth of the valley and back to the top of the mountain once again. The cycle is played out in David's life over and over again. The sad fact is that often in his life as well as our own, that the valleys come quickly after enjoying a great victory. We'd like to stay on top of the mountaintop. We would like to stay where everything was going just right. I feel quite certain that Peter, James, and John would have loved to stay on top of the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord and had him stay in his glorified form. But that wasn't how it was to be. There was much yet to be done. While it's true that we may not have experienced the extremes David did, As we said before, we all can relate to him. From the cycle of deep valleys to mountaintops experience, this seems to flow just the natural rhythm of life. The same for all, not just for a few. We all have times of difficulty and pain. I wish I could give you a formula where you never would have another problem in your life. But that formula does not exist in this life. That's just a part that we're there. We all have times of problems. Thankfully, they are tempered with times of joy and triumph. And boy, aren't the joys and triumphs sweet after going through a particularly difficult time. You begin to enjoy it. And you realize that you're not forsaking the Lord. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at here this morning. This particular psalm was written at a very low point in David's life. He was on the run from King Saul, seeking to survive basically long enough to find his place as king of Israel, because had Saul gotten a hold of him, Saul would have definitely killed him. I think his hatred for David was such that had he got his hands on David, Saul would have killed him himself rather than delegating that to someone else. That's just my thought on the matter. During these moments of despair, David discovered reasons for hope. Have you ever found that true in your life? That in the depth of despair, that you find reasons for hope, reasons for joy, reasons to glorify God and praise Him. John Phillips described this psalm this way: man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we are at wit's end, without resources, at a loss for a way, perplexed and desperate, this is usually when we see God begin to work. But before He does anything about our situation, He wants to do something about ourselves. And that is where we begin to hedge. We want God to deal with our complication. He wants to develop our character. We want Him to change our circumstances. He wants to change us first. That is why He allowed the circumstances to come in. We cry, "Hurry up, Lord." He says, "It's your move. I won't move until you do." What's He saying? We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to leave our place, wherever it might be, and to get closer to Him. Get our lives more in line with what He has. And that, beloved, is what this little psalm is all about. So for our remainder time, I want us to consider the phrase within this moment in David's life as we look into the question, "O Lord, how long?" The first thing we see is a plea within adversity, the first two verses. Here David makes an impassioned plea unto the Lord. He felt deserted. He said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" It's very apparent from the opening of this psalm that David felt absolutely and totally separated from God at this moment in his life. He felt, it's like, we may not say that in so many words today, but I've heard countless people make the comment that they feel like God's a million miles away. When they pray, it don't go above the ceiling, or any one of a host of ways that you can express the same feeling. That is, that God is nowhere near to you. He is, in fact, afar off. It must have been some time since he had enjoyed fellowship and communion with Him. Now, during this time of desperation, David cried out to the Lord, questioning how long the time of trouble would last, because David felt utterly forgotten of the Lord. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe I should phrase that question. Have you ever felt forgotten of God? Yeah. Have you ever felt as though God just don't care what you're going through? I'm not saying that to throw a rock at anybody. I'm just saying that's a human emotion that we go through from time to time. He felt as if he no longer remembered his servant and the great need that he possessed. In short, his feeling could be summarized in the fact that he felt that God just didn't care anymore. He had more things to be concerned with. He had bigger and better things to do, perhaps. But whatever was connected with it, he felt as though God had forgotten him. It is as if David was asking, God, do you not know where I am and what I'm dealing with at this moment? I've tried to serve you, following your direction for my life. However, in the midst of this problem, you seem distant and unconcerned. That is a horrible place to find yourself. And if you have ever been there, or perhaps you're there today, again, I'm not casting stones at anybody. I can tell you, for one, I have felt that way on occasions in my life. What's the first thing you do? Well, you look over your life and see if there's any unconfessed sin there. And if there isn't any, then you have to come away with the knowledge that God's teaching you something. And that's the process through which you're going to learn. We too have been there, I'm sure. God has never, I can't emphasize that enough, God has never forgotten one of His own. But there are times that we feel alone and separated from Him. But He's never forgotten one of us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need. Now, if you look a little deeper, David not only felt forgotten, he felt forsaken. And remember, a few weeks back, we looked at the word forsaken. That's to be given up on. And that's how David felt at that point in his life. Lord, how long will you hide your face from me? How long will you not smile upon me? How long will I seek to find your face and not be able to find it, not be able to see it? He felt that God had left him to bear his burdens alone. And that, there's not a more helpless feeling that I can think of right now than that feeling that you've got burdens that are really more than you can bear, to have to try to do it on your own. To have to try to bear it on your own. You know, and every day there's something else that comes up. So till you get to the place where it's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. I can't take anymore. Well, guess what? You find out that you can. You're stronger than you really think you are by God's grace and by God's help. In this moment of loneliness and utter confusion, David wondered if God had abandoned him. Now, we know for a fact that that isn't the case. But I suspect strongly that we too have wondered the same thing and had thoughts very similar to that ourselves. Have we not questioned whether God was near, whether He understood our need, and when would He respond? I pray and 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 I don't ever get an answer. I see God's face, I can't find it. I read His word, and there's no enlightenment to what I'm looking at. You know, I come to the services, and there's no joy in my heart. There's no thrill in my soul from being in the presence of the Lord. What's going on? And that's the kind of things that we all fight and have dealt with and do deal with, unfortunately, from time to time. The fact that we do that is nothing more than human nature. Because we must remember a simple fact given to us by God Himself that should forever clear this fog up from our minds. When He said that He has promised, He didn't say He might, or He'd think about it, or He should, He has promised to neither leave nor forsake us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a promise you can count on. If that promise is not true, then you can discount every other promise in the Bible. But it is true, and you can stand on it. There may indeed be times when God is silent. But even then, we're not forsaken. We're in the process of learning a few things that God has for us. He felt defeat in verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? The trials of life are overwhelming. And David was struggling and battling with depression, is what we call it today. And who wouldn't in those circumstances? He had sought the Lord, but only her silence. I have a message that I think I preached it here. I know I did at Bancroft a long time ago about your faith in times of silence. And boy, that will try your faith, won't it? If anything will, is when there's nothing but silence. If you think that what I'm saying is we shouldn't feel that way. Let me illustrate this way. If you were to call me this afternoon with a heavy burden, a heavy problem, and as you're talking to me, I don't ever make a sound. You may ask a question, and I don't ever make a sound. I'm just sitting there holding a receiver, or I may even lay it down. Now, I've never done that, but I'm illustrating the point this way. Would you think that I cared about your problem? Of course not. If I cared, I would be listening to you. I'd be at least acknowledging that you're speaking. How much more so is it when we pray and all we get is silence? Do we wonder in within ourselves if God is truly not interested? If it's something that it shouldn't be in our lives? His heart was filled with great sorrow. Day after day after day, nothing but sorrow. It seemed as the enemy continued to prosper. Well, that seems pretty much like today, doesn't it? It seems that the wicked prosper greatly while those that are following the Lord are doing nothing but struggling just to get by. He felt forsaken of the Lord and defeated by his enemies. And therefore, David had reached a very, very low point in his life, probably one of the lowest points he ever came to. I'm sure each of us has dealt with this emotion before as well. And we've talked about this already. We feel as though the harder we try, the more grief and sorrow we experience. The more we try to be cheerful, the more sorrow comes. The more we try to help others, the less help we seem to receive in times of need. It's just a vicious circle, it seems like we're going into. Our lives are lived in light of the Lord. We spend all of our time seeking to please Him, and yet it appears as those who work against us prosper while we suffer great defeat. However, there's a lesson that we might learn, we must learn. Now, it's not my intent this morning, nor is it ever my intent, nor has it ever been my intent, to make light of depression and the struggles that are very real in the lives of many people. I'm not making light of that at all. For too long, I will say this, for far too long, folks have considered depression as a lack of spiritual strength and maturity. That's not always the case. Sometimes it might be, but it is not always the case. Those close to God can suffer feelings of depression. Look at David. Look at the prophet Elijah. Oh Lord, let me die. Jezebel's after me. Like I heard a preacher say one time, he didn't want to die. If he had it, he'd just stayed right there. Jezebel would have accommodated him pretty easy. But you get what I'm saying now. This is something that folks battle. It is very, very real. Not something that's just imaginary in our lives. As we work through those times, we have to keep in mind, that's what I'm talking about, a thing we have to learn, the delight of the enemy. Satan likes to paint a dark picture before those who are already struggling, to make it darker and more gloomy than it really is. He wants them to focus on the defeats and failures while parading the accomplishment of others before. Look at what this one's done. Look at what that was done. You say you're serving God? Look how much better they have. Look how nice their life is. How comfortable their life is. But yeah, look how wicked their life probably is. And it's not worth the trade-off. He wants us to believe our God is no longer listening. And He'll even go so far as to try to convince us that He is unable to help us in our time of need. Even in the darkest moments, We must do exactly as David did and seek counsel from God within our souls. Seek help from Him. Seek direction from Him. Seek the guidance that can only come from Him. Secondly, a prayer of anticipation, verses 3 and 4. His recognition, we find in the first part of verse 8. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Although his situation was desperate, David knew in whom he had believed. He knew in whom he had trusted, who he put his life in the hands of. Wicked men may have sought his life, but he knew that he could call upon the Lord in his time of need. Beloved, do you know that? Not with your head, but with your heart. Do you fully know and understand that you can always call on the Lord regardless of where you are and regardless of what you're going through? He may have been in the depths of despair, but he had not lost all hope. His hope was still in God. Even in the midst of the valley, while facing adversity that we can only imagine, we too must remember in whom we trust and to whom we belong. Always, regardless of what we're up against, our hope is anchored not only in Jesus, but that would be enough, but our hope is anchored in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Anchored in the provision that He made possible for us. The promise of eternal life that He provided for us. There's no doubt that life will be hard to bear at times. You've had that experience already if you've served the Lord any length of time at all. But even then, we must trust the Lord. We must be mindful of His great love and power to meet whatever need we may have. We must never forget words that we'd like to go to and everything is cheery and everything is working right. But remember the words of the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you are saved, everything in life works together for your good. Even the stuff that you can't imagine how. How on earth could that be for my good? It is. You can trust that from God. That's the president telling me I'm busy. David, we must be mindful always of His great love and power to meet whatever need that we may face. His request was in the latter part of verse 3. It says, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David knew for a fact his enemies were stronger than he was. He knew for a fact there were so many of them, he was no match for them, there was nothing he could do against them. He did not have the power nor the resources to overcome them. But he had God. He remained confident in the Lord. Is your confidence set in God? Do you know that regardless of what you face, that you have Him, you are in Him, He is with you all through the battle, the trial that you're going through. He was saying, I can't, but Lord, You can. And He did, and He does. He cried out unto the Lord to compensate his inability. He was saying, Lord, help me out here. I need Your help, lest I perish. Lest they destroy me. I need Your help. My life is in Your hands. Save me from my adversity. At this moment, David did the only thing he could do. And that was the best thing he could do, was to take it to God and cry out unto Him. He put his complete trust in the Lord. We too, as we go through life, face situations that are absolutely beyond our ability to handle. We all face them. We face things that will overwhelm us at times. Apart from the Lord, they will end in certain defeat because we are no match for them. There's nothing we can do. In those times, we also must trust the Lord to come to our aid and defense. Now, there is something here we need to throw in, not to be a wet blanket, but sometimes our will and God's will is not the same. Amen. His will be accomplished. And when His will and our will is not the same, then I refer you back to Romans 3:23. Whatever it is, it'll work out for your good if you're a child of God. Our lives are always in His hands. There's never a day or moment that they're not. But we seem to understand this more and more, but life seems to get out of control. You know, we see it seems to be whirling around us. Call on Him, He will respond. His respect, we find in verse 4. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against Him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Now here I kind of detect a concern for the good name of God. David, as David was looking at, his respect for God. David knew he had been anointed king according to God's sovereign plan. He didn't question that. He knew what Samuel had accomplished or what Samuel did in his life. Around those that were around him were aware of that as well, else why they wouldn't have been with him. They had been with King Saul. Sadly, they were not concerned that God's will be carried out. David knew, David was certain, that if he perished, it would appear as though God had failed. It would appear as though God wasn't able to take care of him, wasn't able to provide for him. Remember the taunting that Jesus received while he was hanging on the cross? Where they were telling him to come down, call on God if he'll have you. They wanted him to prove that he was who he claimed he was by coming down off the cross. But that wasn't the will of God. And that wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. He wanted to honor the name of the Lord and do all he could to bear witness to the Lord's power and grace. David understood that this was not about him. In any way, shape, or form was this about him. He was dealing with adversity, but he wanted the Lord's will to be done, whatever it might be. That is a hard place for us to come to, but it's a necessary place for us to get, that we look at a situation and fully believe when we say that it is God's will. Whatever it is, this is what I want to see done. But nevertheless, thy will be done. And that's the place we need to get to. And that's a hard place to get to. But that's where we need to be. We need to come to the same understanding that our lives are not all about us either. They're all about the Lord. Certainly, God has a plan for us. And He's working all things for our good. But His name must be exalted through our lives. That's what He expects. That's what He commands out of each and every one of us. We ought to desire to honor the Lord in all that we do and make every effort to abide by His sovereign will. Thirdly, a praise for abundance, verses 5 and 6. Even in adversity, David realized God has been good and he felt compelled to praise Him for the abundance he had received. Notice the source of his faith. Faith, the first part of verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Although life had been difficult for David as of late, he was going through a hard time. David had not lost hope. He knew in whom he belonged, and he knew that was the source of his strength, the source of his encouragement, the source of his comfort and contentment. He was not trusting in the abilities or wisdom of men, but in the mercies of God, and you can't trust in anything better than that. As long as God was on his side, there was never any doubt that he would not fail. And beloved, you'll not fail as long as God is on your side. You'll accomplish what it is that he has for you to do. This afforded great comfort and confidence in the life of David. We all face storms in life and are called to fight many battles as we go through our daily life. Often we find ourselves navigating a dark and lonely valley. If we're trusting in our own abilities, or of those people around us or others anywhere, we will surely fail because we can't trust others, can we? We can't trust yourself to get through a situation. You have to have God's guidance, God's direction, God's leadership. However, if we do as David and trust in the mercies and grace of the Lord, we can and will prevail. Jesus has already conquered every enemy that we can face as he died on the cross and rose triumphant from the grave. Therefore, we have nothing to fear because we are secure in him. What a blessed promise we have. Notice the significance of his faith, the latter part of verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now, David had no way of knowing what the outcome of this trial would be, but he was not totally dismayed. He didn't know any more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what would happen when they were put in the furnace. They could have been burned up for all they knew. All they knew was they would not bow to the idol of the king. The same type of faith that David had, not knowing what the outcome would be. Even in great adversity, he could rejoice in his salvation. Beloved, that's a promise that you have as well. You can always rejoice in your salvation, regardless of what you've been through. Even if God chose to let him die in the heat of battle, he was secure in the Lord. If I leave here, I go to be with him. Right? If you close your eyes here in death, you open them in the presence of the Lord. There's no losing in this. That's a part of being secure in the Lord. Man had not created him, nor had man called him to make him king. So therefore, man could not utterly destroy him. God's the only one who can do that. Remember that they're told that people should not fear man, but fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that's not an exact quote, but you get the meaning of it. If we would only rest on this eternal truth, our lives would be much richer and far less worrisome. Far less. We will deal with adversity as long as we live. The trials and cares of life will follow us all the way to the grave. But beloved, so will the victory we have in Jesus. That will not depart from us. We have nothing to fear because we can always rejoice in our salvation, knowing we are secure in Jesus and will spend eternity with him. And finally, the song of his faith, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. While thinking about the Lord's blessings, David was moved to offer a song of praise and joy and thrill to God. The enemy may have been close at hand, but beloved, they weren't nearly as close to him as the Lord was. The Lord was much closer. God had preserved him up to this point, and David was confident he would continue to provide. While in the valley of deep despair and trouble and anguish, David broke out in song to the Lord, worshiping him for his many benefits. When I was singing about that, my mind went to that song, Count Your Many Blessings. We have blessings on top of blessings, do we not? That we tend to forget in our hard times. And instead of forgetting them, they should be ever before us, especially in them. I don't know where you may be in this life at this particular moment, but we have received enough from the Lord to praise him at all times. If you wonder about that, consider the life and suffering of Job. He lost everything he had, and yet he praised the Lord because he knew his Redeemer lived. He had full assurance of that. Life at times may be hard to bear. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But Jesus, our Lord, remains seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. They're making intercession for us. Thank God for that fact. He has provided for our salvation and dealt bountifully with us as well. You know, I want to close with this. If we never received another blessing, never in our life ever got another blessing. We would still be obligated to offer praise and worship to the Lord. Why? For His many blessings that we've already received. We are blessed people. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, how long? I can't tell you how long you're going to go through the trial. I can't tell you how long you're going to be in the valley. But what I can tell you is you're not alone. And you will win. God will make you victorious. So the thing that we need to do is keep moving and trusting in Him. Let's pray. You're kind of